We were all as fired up as Gideon and Judah are this morning. We'd be having church, buddy. Praise God. I like it. Amen. I do too. Amen. I like it. Praise God. Amen. They got some pep in their step. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I ain't playing. Psalm, the book of Psalms. And turn to the 103rd Psalm. The 103rd Psalm this morning. And I was thinking, of course, yesterday was the, I believe it's the 20-year anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. And I don't know about you, but I still very vividly remember all the scenes, not all the scenes, but many of the scenes from that day. The smoke pouring out of those buildings. I remember watching live as that second plane flew into that building, the second building there. And I remember watching live as those buildings fell as they came down. And since then, of course, I think I was in the sixth grade or seventh grade when it all happened. And so, you know, when you're that age, you know what's going on, but you still don't understand all the implications of everything that'll take place. Don't understand the things that will happen, take place moving forward from that point. And but I can remember going back, and even now go back and seeing the people jumping from those buildings, and all the horrific things that took place that day. And somebody said that September 11th, 9/11 would be my generation's Pearl Harbor. I read about Pearl Harbor, know what all happened, but I didn't experience it like some of you did. I wasn't alive when it happened. But 9/11, I was alive. I was there. I saw it all happen. And that'll be Pearl Harbor for my generation. And this, of course, you know, yesterday, much of the nation remembered those things and thought about those things. But boy, it's something how far we've come, even from then, even from those 20 years, how far we've come. And thinking back on those days, remembering those days, boy, we ought to really be thankful that God has sustained us and blessed us. Because we didn't know what was going to happen when all those things were taking place. We didn't know what was going to happen moving forward. We didn't know what type of war our country was going to be getting into, what type of controversy and all that our country was going to be getting into. But through it all, the Lord has sustained us and He's blessed us. And of course, I don't discredit the lives that were lost. And we're thankful for our men that responded and the way our nation responded, and thankful for all that was done. As far as the response, the first response the day of, and then the measures that were taken after that. But Lord has sustained us. He's blessed us. And we're still able to be in church this morning. And you know, we've got a lot to praise the Lord over. Well, we think about those dark days, the things that took place those 20 years ago. And think about the Sunday after 9/11 and churches were filled. Would to God they were filled this morning. Would to God there was God Bless America stickers on every car that you saw out and about. Would to God there was God Bless America flags flying in people's yards like there were in those days. Amen. That's the only thing that's going to save this country, save this nation, is revival, Holy Ghost revival, real revival, and turning back to God. And so, but I tell you, we've got a lot to be thankful for, and we've got a lot to praise the Lord over in these days. And that's actually kind of what I want to preach this morning, something I want to deal with. I want to deal this morning with praise. And so if you look with me in Psalm chapter 103, I'll not have you stand. We've stood a lot today already. But I'm going to read this whole chapter. It's just 22 verses. But as with many of the Psalms, this Psalm deals with praise, deals with our praise. And he says in verse number 1 of Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace this morning, and I thank You for letting us be in Your house. And I thank You, Lord, for letting us have a Bible. And I thank You, Lord, for letting us, Lord, have the Holy Spirit, Lord, moving amongst us and, Lord, working in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I thank You for a place to come to this morning where we can worship You freely and openly. Lord, as we've thought about, Lord, the events that unfolded, Lord, 20 years ago yesterday, and Lord, where we were this time 20 years ago, Lord, the fear and the uncertainty, and Lord, the things that were taking place in our nation, Lord, we just want to take a moment to say thank You, Lord. We bless Your name for, Lord, how You've sustained us, and Lord, how You've kept us. Lord, things have never been the same since those days. Lord, we've still got a lot to thank You for. Lord, we still have much to bless You for. And Lord, we still, Lord, as Your people, and most of all as Your people, Lord, we can bless Your holy name. And Lord, I pray that You would help us this morning as we look to Your word. I pray that You would help us as we look to this psalm, Lord, to be reminded, Lord, how we should praise You. And Lord, be reminded, Lord, how we should trust in You. And Lord, as we see, Lord, all that You've done for us and how You've blessed us, Lord, beyond temporal things and material things, but Lord, into spiritual and eternal things, Lord, the things that are the most important things. And so, Lord, I thank You for what You've done. Thank You for what You're going to do. I pray that You'd help us this morning, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning on a phrase that He uses over and over and over in this chapter. Verse 1, He uses it. Verse 2, He uses it. Down at the end of the chapter, verse 20, verse 21, verse 22. Over and over and over, He uses the phrase, bless the Lord. And I want to preach to you on bless the Lord, O my soul. That's what He said in verse 1 and verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, as you look through the Psalms, all this collection of these Psalms that we have in the Bible, many of the Psalms are addressed to God.
They are songs that were written, and many of them written by David and different men, different ones. And they're addressed to God. Many of them give praise to God, and they're talking to God. Then some of the psalms, they are spoken to other people. Spoken to or about other people. There are some psalms that are written to the righteous. There are some psalms that are written to sinners. There are some psalms that are written to Israel. There are some psalms that are written to Gentile nations and other groups. And so we have some psalms written to God, some psalms addressing other people. But in Psalm chapter 103, what you will find is that this psalm, in this psalm, the psalmist is speaking and addressing himself. He's talking to himself. He's not talking to the Lord. He's talking about the Lord. And he's not talking to anybody else. He's talking just about the Lord. He's talking to himself and addressing himself. We only have to read down to verse number 2 to learn and find out why. He said in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits." And so we find, after just reading the first 2 verses of this psalm, why the psalmist is writing the psalm and why he's addressing himself in writing the psalm. What he's doing is he is reminding himself of God's blessings. Amen. He's doing this so that he will continue to be grateful for all that God has done for him. Amen. And we need to do that sometimes. We need to remind ourselves of all of God's blessings and all of His benefits. And I would say, especially in these days, in these last days, we need to be constantly reminded. The world will always remind us of what's wrong in the world and what's wrong in life and what's wrong with the economy and what's wrong with society and what's wrong with this country and the world and what's wrong with everything that's going on. And there is a lot wrong. Amen. But I tell you something, for you and I as God's people, there's a lot right. And there's a whole lot more right about us and a whole lot more right that God's working in us than could ever be wrong. Amen. God has righted all of our wrongs. Amen. And He's turned around all of our wrongs. And He's blessed us. And He's given us so many benefits. Amen. And that's what the psalmist is doing. He's making a list, if you will. He's writing down all that God has done, all of His blessings, and he's doing it to remind himself. One man said he is cataloging the goodness of God, enumerating His blessings, lest in a moment of depression or backsliding, he should forget the source of his prosperity and take God's grace for granted. Amen. Surely none of us would do that. Surely none of us in a moment of backslidden state or in a moment of depression or desperation, surely none of us would forget God's blessings. Surely none of us would take for granted God's grace working in our life. Surely no one here would do that. Amen. Hey, I have to be honest with you. There are times when I hit a low place and I take for granted all of God's blessings. Amen. Do you take God's grace for granted this morning? Do you look around and instead of seeing all God is doing, do you have the tendency to forget all that He's done and all that He's doing this morning? How much He's blessed you and how good He's been to us and how He sustained us. Amen. We look at the glass half empty so much spiritually rather than looking at the glass half full. Amen. We look at all the empty seats in the sanctuary rather than looking at the seats that are filled. Amen. We think about all who's not here instead of thinking about who is here. Amen. The ones who have come and gone rather than the ones who have come and stayed. Hallelujah. The ones who have been faithful and will be faithful to the end. We think about all the modern versions and how corrupted they are and forget that we've got a version that's perfect and complete and preserved for us. Amen. I'm saying God, in the midst of all that's wrong, God's done so much right. Hallelujah. And I say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Don't you see David in the midst of a nation and in the midst of a world that no doubt was a lot like our world, where people grumbled and complained, used their words to talk about what all was wrong. David wanted his words to be praise. Amen. That ought to be us this morning. We ought to want our words to be you praise. Hallelujah. If we're going to say something, may it be praising the Lord. Amen. If we're going to, hey, you know what they used to say as kids? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Ain't that right? That's the way we ought to be as God's people. If we can't praise the Lord, if we can't minister grace, if our words can't be seasoned with salt, we may as well just say nothing. Amen. And I tell you, as David pens these words of this psalm, he wants it to be remembered as words of praise. He wants to be stirred in his heart of God's benefits. Amen. There's a hymn that we sing many times around Thanksgiving. It's not based on Psalm chapter 103, but it does perfectly capture what the psalmist is doing here. The hymn goes like this. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Amen. I tell you, it'd do us good every now and then just to sit down with a blank sheet of paper and a pen in our hand and just go to writing one blessing after the other and just list one by one by one by one, one blessing, one benefit, one good thing we have in our life because of God. And before long, that whole sheet of paper will be filled up and you won't have enough room to fit it all on there, because once you get to thinking about all God has done, once you get to meditating on it, it'll stir you up. You'll think of one thing and then another and then another and then another. And the songwriter said, the world could not contain all that God has done for us. Amen. I tell you, we ought to do that from time to time and be like this psalmist and list everything God has done and just bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. See, this psalm here has a lot to do with praise. That's what it's all about. It's about the psalmist praising the Lord. And it answers some questions regarding our praise. I want to look at some of those this morning. The first ones we see, we'll probably not really get past the first few verses this morning, but that's all right. But I see in the verse 1 and verse 2, really, the way to praise the Lord. He answers the question on the way to praise the Lord. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. So the answer we find on how, the way to praise the Lord, how are we supposed to praise the Lord? The answer is with all that is within me. Amen. That's what the psalmist said. He said, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. That is with all my soul. Amen. With all my heart. Amen. With everything I've got inside. With all my innermost being, the psalmist says, let me praise the Lord. Let me bless the Lord. Let me bless His holy name. Let me give Him all I've got. Hallelujah. Let me give it all to Him because He's been so good. Now in these verses, David is rousing himself to remember God's benefits. And we have to do that. He's rousing himself to remember God's benefits because he wants to praise the Lord and he wants to bless the Lord. He knows he needs to bless the Lord. He knows he needs to praise the Lord. Amen? By the way, praising the Lord is a command. It's not a if you feel like it, do it. And it's not a once you get saved, you will do it. Ain't no promise. Nothing. Listen, there's nothing in our flesh that wants to praise the Lord. This flesh doesn't want to do that. These people talk about getting in these services, and boy, folks are shouting, and folks are around the hour, and they say, oh, that's in the flesh. If you can work in the flesh, you just go ahead and do it this morning and help all the rest of us out. Amen? My flesh don't like praising the Lord most of the time. I got to be roused in my flesh to praise the Lord. Amen? And David knows he's supposed to praise the Lord, and we're supposed to praise the Lord. We're commanded to, whether we feel like it or not. And it's not automatic. It's not something that just happens. The switch just flips whenever we get saved. We automatically just go to praise the Lord all the time. We ought to, but we just don't in our flesh. We're supposed to, though, and we're commanded to, and David knows he needs to and he wants to, so he is rousing himself to remember God's benefits. And that's what we have to do. We have to rouse ourselves to remember God's benefits. That's part of what coming to church is all about. That's what we do when we sing old time hymns about the blood, and we sing old hymns about the cross, and we sing old hymns about how God's blessed us and all that He's done for us, and sing all these doctrinal hymns, because we do it with the intent that we would think about what we're singing and it would arouse us. We call it getting stirred up, right? It would stir our hearts. Amen? And that's what David's done. He's trying to get his heart stirred up. Amen? And that's what part of church is, getting stirred up so that we can praise and worship the Lord. Amen? Because see, David, he doesn't want to do it superficially here. Amen? And none of us should want to do it superficially. Amen? Listen, it's a disgrace to praise God superficially. Just to offer Him praise with our lips when our hearts are far from Him. That's a disgrace. That's abomination. David wants to do it with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, like he was commanded to in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Amen? See, this is the place here in this psalm to begin, where we can begin to notice the alls in this psalm. Because he's listing all God's benefits. All God's benefits. Amen. To stir himself and to rouse himself. And as we look here, we can start to notice the alls in the psalm. In verse 1, all that is within me. Forget not all his benefits in verse 2, which include forgiveness of all thine iniquities and healing all thy diseases in verse 3. Amen. Down at the end of the chapter, later David calls on all God's heavenly hosts and all His works to join him in praise. In verse 21 and verse 22, David is thinking about it all of it that God has done. Now I say this, what a rebuke this is to so much of what passes for praise in many of our services and assemblies in this day. What a disgrace that for so much of what passes as real worship in this day. David is here stirring his heart, and he's talking to himself about all God's done. And you know, a lot of times we come to church, but we leave our minds at home. Amen. We hear of God's grace, but our hearts are hard by a critical spirit, or hard by many other things. You know what John Edwards said, that great preacher, Jonathan Edwards? He said, there is no true worship that does not touch the affections. There is no true worship that does not touch the affections. Listen, some people have different personalities. We all have different personalities. Some people are loud, some people are quiet. Some people, you know, they jump around and they're real excited and in high gear all the time. Some people are real laid back and, kind of stone faced or whatever. People are just all different. But one thing is true about all of us. If our worship does not touch our affections, it is not real. If our worship does not move us, you don't have to be crying crocodile tears. And you don't have to be running the aisles like somebody else. And you don't have to be doing what somebody else does. But if it doesn't get down in the corridors of your soul and get down into your affections, get down to where your heart lays and gets a hold of what you love most, if it doesn't stir you on the inside, then the worship is not real. There is no worship that doesn't touch our affections. Amen. You know, we're often strangely unaffected by our worship, what we call worship. Strangely unaffected, honoring God with our lips while our hearts are far from Him. That's what Jesus said about that crowd. See, David said he wanted to praise the Lord with all his innermost being. He didn't want to go and sit and go through the motions of praising the Lord. He didn't want to sing hymn after hymn after hymn and then hear a message and then go to the house. He didn't want to just pray through a prayer list and just get it over with. He didn't just want to run through it. And these are all things that we all battle with, by the way. These are things that we all go through. These are things that I struggle with and you struggle. These are things we all struggle with. But to keep from doing that, David said, I want to bless the Lord with all my soul, with all that is within me. And to do that, I'm going to forget not His benefits. All of His benefits. So we see the way to praise the Lord with all that is within me. What about the why to praise the Lord? This is really where I want to get to today. The why we praise the Lord. These are the questions regarding praise that are answered in this psalm. Why we would praise the Lord. See, when you think about how empty our praise is or how cold our praise is a lot of times, how little we praise a lot of times, you say, well, I mean, what really is the problem? Well, David answers it for us. What really is the problem? Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that we've forgotten God's many benefits and blessings. The problem is that we do not think about God's benefits and blessings. The problem is that we've gotten used to God's benefits and blessings. We just expect the sun to come up and the sun to go down. We just expect the stars to shine at night. We just expect to have air to breathe. We just expect our car to run when we go outside. We just expect everything to just go as planned. So much so that when something doesn't go as planned, something minor doesn't go as planned, boy, it just ruins our whole day. I have a flat tire, man. It's like our day is ruined. We're going through the trials of Job because we had a flat tire. When the majority of the history of the world never even lived having a tire, knowing what a tire is on a car that they've never driven, never seen. Amen. That's right. Walked everywhere they went. I mean, all of these things. Listen, we get upset whenever our meal doesn't turn out just the way we want it to turn out. When the majority of the world has had to ask the Lord for daily bread, daily needs. They didn't know what they were going to have from day to day. And even a lot of the world lives that way now. See, the truth is we've just forgotten God's many blessings and benefits. And those are just the temporal, material things. Those are just the carnal things. What about the spiritual things? What about the eternal things? What about the things that have changed in us that will last forever, that no man can ever take away from us? See, the truth is, it's human to forget. That's human nature. And by the way, whenever we say human nature, anytime you hear somebody use the term human nature, what you need to think to yourself is fallen nature. Human nature equals fallen nature. Anything that's human nature is fallen nature. And that's what it is. Human nature, fallen nature is to forget. But let's remember at least one thing. Let's always remember one thing. That it's a terrible, terrible thing to forget God's benefits in our life. Of all the things we could know and forget, of all the things we could learn and forget, the absolute worst thing we could ever forget is God's benefits in our lives. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse number 25, it was said of Hezekiah that he rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up. Therefore was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. The Bible says of Hezekiah that he did not praise the Lord for God's benefits on him. His heart was lifted up with pride. Therefore, because of the pride of his heart, because he did not remember God's benefits, because he did not remember God's blessings, because he did not remember what God did for him, God's wrath was upon him and upon the nation around him because he did not remember God's benefits. Amen. I know a lot lot of churches, a lot of preachers talking about what's going on in the world, why America's going the direction it's going, why does it seem like God's wrath and God's judging America? Well, I can tell you one reason why. Not because society's forgot, but because the church has forgotten God's benefits and does not praise God for His benefits. One of the signs of the last days is that man would be unthankful and full of pride, and that's right here in the church now. We've gotten so much, and we're so blessed that we've forgotten that we need God anymore. We've forgotten His benefits. Lifted up with pride, like we're the ones doing all this. We forget God. You know, God warned the Israelites of the same thing. If you'll turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to read you a section of Scripture over here. Between Numbers and Joshua lies Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you look in verse number 10, God is warning them, warning Israel regarding the promised land. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? He's giving them a warning regarding the promised land. A warning of what might take place in their heart once they enter the blessings of the promised land. He says in Deuteronomy 8, verse number 10, "When thou hast eaten and art full." When was the last time any of us ate but didn't eat till we were full? We all eat till we're full. Not everyone in the world does, but we do. Because we've been blessed. We've been born in America. We've all got riches, and God's given us so much. That's what he told us. When you eat until you're full. He said, "Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee." Now here it is. "Beware. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, that He might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end, and thou say in thine heart, mine power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." God tells His people, He tells the nation of Israel, be careful, beware when you enter in the promised land and you start building good houses and living in them good houses. Whenever you start working those fields and those fields are being blessed and God's blessing your crops, and whenever you start raising those flocks and God's blessing your flocks and your flocks are multiplied, you start making money and your money's multiplied and everything you do, it's multiplied and it's blessed and things are going good in your life and you got a good life of ease. He said, beware, beware, beware. He said, because there'll come a day if you're not careful that you'll forget God. You'll forget it's God that's done all this. You'll forget that He was the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt. He was the one that sustained you through the desert. He was the one that sustained you through the wilderness. Hey, you'd have died of thirst had God not brought water from that rock. Hey, you'd have died of hunger had God not brought you manna from heaven. Hey, you'd have lost your way had God not guided you all the way. Hey, it was God that did all this. But if you're not careful, when God's blessing you, your heart will get lifted up with pride and you'll start saying, I'm the one doing this. And if we're not careful, church, we'll get to thinking we're the ones doing this. We'll get to thinking, well, I've worked for everything I've got. Well, maybe you have worked for everything you've got, and praise the Lord for it. It's a blessing to work, but God gave you and me the health to do it. And God gave us the faculties to do it. And God gave us the job to do it. Amen? Listen, if God don't sustain us, and if God don't watch out for us and provide for us like He always has, if we don't praise Him, remember His benefits, He might take it from us. Hey, it might be this time next year a lot of us don't have a job because we refuse to take a vaccine. I'm saying it is God that has done all this. It's God's benefits on us. And the devil would take it away this morning if he could. Amen. Amen. We've not done anything. God has sustained us and God's given us all that we've got. And if we're not careful, we'll be just like the children of Israel, living in the greatest day that's ever anyone's ever lived in, this day of grace, living in the greatest country that's ever been. Hey, if we're not careful, we'll forget God and forget all of His benefits. Forget that He is the one doing this. And by the way, forget that He's the one that's going to keep doing it if it's going to keep being done. If anybody's going to get saved, it's going to be God that does it. If the church is going to grow and move forward, it's going to be God that does it. If anything spiritually and eternally in anyone's life, it's going to be God that does it. And so here then is the question, why should a person praise God? By now it should be obvious, shouldn't it? It'll be obvious because he said in verse 2, because of all His benefits. David lists, he makes a statement, because of all His benefits. Forget not all of His benefits in verse 2. But then he lists those benefits. He lists exactly what he means by listing out some of those benefits in verses 3 through 5. If you turn back to Psalm 103, I don't know if you're there. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits in verse 2. But then he lists them. He says, who forgave all thine iniquities. What's he talking about whenever he talks about all God's benefits? He's not talking about fine chariots and fine horses. He's not talking about big houses, and he's not talking about air conditioning, even though those things are a blessing. He's talking about the real blessings. Amen. He says, for forgiveness of sins. Why should we praise the Lord? Because He's forgiven our sins. You know, that's the greatest of all blessings. That's the greatest of all gifts, that we sit here this morning forgiven, as wicked as we've been, as wicked as we are. We sit here before a thrice holy God, able to worship Him, holding the Bible, the Holy Spirit in our heart, forgiven in His sight. That's the greatest gift man's ever been given this morning, is forgiveness of sin. And yet we forget all His benefits. We forget His benefits. Boy, we can get so much like that Pharisee in the temple. Thank God that I'm not like these other men. Thank you, Lord, that our church has taken such a strong stand and been so faithful through the years that we're not like all these other churches. Thank you, Lord, that I'm so good and You've blessed me so that I'm not like all these other people. Well, thank the Lord that He has blessed us and He has taken care of us. But I tell you, we can get a lot like these Pharisees, get to thinking that we're up here and everybody else is down here. But the truth is, God is the one that's done it in us. And if it wasn't by His grace, we'd be out in sin like everybody else and all the other world. We'd be out there with the sinners. Amen. And it's only God's grace, only His mercy that's changed what's been changed in you. Amen. That's right. Like the song, He spoke to us. Amen. Why should we praise the Lord? For forgiveness of sins. Then he says in verse number 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now there's been some debate here over whether he's talking about spiritual disease or physical disease. What diseases is he talking about? Now, the health and wealth crowd take this and make it out like if you love God enough, then you'll be healed of every disease. That's what he said there, isn't it? He heals all diseases. That's what he said. Well, we know that's not exactly what God's talking about. We know that's not exactly what he's saying here. But is he talking about spiritual disease or physical disease? I think we could see both of them there. And we could see both. Listen, the fact that He's forgiven our sin. Sin is the worst disease that man's ever had. Sin is the worst hereditary disease that man's ever had. It's passed in our blood. Amen. It is hereditary. And God has healed us of that terrible, terrible disease in forgiving our sins, giving us a new nature, putting in us the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. He's healed us of all that disease. But you know, we can also look at the physical side of it. The truth is, He does heal diseases too. He may not necessarily heal all diseases. He may not heal everything that's wrong with you. There's been people that's passed away from this virus. But let me help you. There were people that passed away from viruses before coronavirus ever came around. People have been dying of heart attacks for years. They still ain't got a vaccine for that. Amen. Hey, before coronavirus, people were dying of the common cold every year. Amen. People, I mean, you know, there are diseases and there are viruses and there's all kinds of stuff out there that attack these bodies, and these bodies are broken down. But hey, aren't you glad to know that any healing done, I'm talking about physical healing in our bodies, any disease that would be cured, any healing that is done is going to be done by God, and any disease that is allowed is within His purpose. Amen. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. And if He wants to heal a disease, He'll heal a disease. Or if He wants to allow it in us to work something out better in us, He'll do that too. Amen. But nothing takes place in our life where it doesn't happen under God's careful watch. Amen. He heals all diseases. But then, not only forgiveness of sins, healing disease, but redemption from destruction. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Let me just ask you, just think about that phrase. Think about that phrase, and I want to ask you a question. Where would you be without Him? Where would your life be without Him? Amen. I tell you where you can get a little glimpse of where it would be. Just look at the ones that have walked out on Him. That's about where you'd be. Amen. Just think about some of those that have walked out on God, that were where they were supposed to be at one time. It seemed like they were doing right at one time. It seemed like they were following God at one time. And He was blessing them and He was taking care of them. But they forgot His benefits. And they thought they were the ones doing it. They thought they could do it their way a whole lot better than the way God was doing it. And they would be just as blessed without God than what they are with God. And so they walked out and got away from God. And where they're at this morning, that's about where you'd probably be. And I just tell you, if it still looks like they're having a good time, you just wait. Because that road always ends up in destruction. That is a dead end road, friend. It's a dead end road. And many have walked it. And many have gone that road thinking they could do it better than God can do it. And thinking they'd be just as blessed without God than what they are with God. Matter of fact, the reason people walk out on God is because they think God's actually holding out on them. They think all these rules and all these regulations and all of God's thou shalts and thou shalt nots are really holding them back. So they think they get out there on their own and get out from the preacher's throat, get out from under the preacher's thumb and get away from all these holy rolling, you know, Christians. They'll get out and do it their way and they'll be a whole lot better off. And they find out the very hard way that the ways of the transgressors is hard. It's a dead-end road, friend. Where would your life be without Him? I'll tell you right where it'd be. Be in the pit of destruction somewhere. Be messed up somewhere. That's what David said. David said, hey, forgetting all of His benefits. What benefits are you talking about? Well, he's redeemed my life from destruction. Redeemed my life from destruction. By the way, this is the same David that's really messed up on God too, by the way. This is the same David that did go his own way at one time. This is the same David that did forget His benefits at one time. This is the same David that did kind of get to thinking that he was doing it. And then God sent the man of God to his house to put his finger in his face and remind him that it was I who took you from the sheepfold. And it was I that made you king over Israel. And it was I that raised you up and set you where you are. And if everything you've got wasn't enough, I'd have given you more if you needed more, David. But it was I that did that. God did that. And we see how much of a mess David's life got in. You know what happened? He forgot His benefits. He had a moment in time where he forgot God's benefit. I'm telling you, the same thing will happen to us if we forget his benefits. We're seeing the same thing happening in our society. Not so much because society's forgotten his benefits. They never knew them. But because the church has forgotten God's benefits. Redemption from destruction. Why should we praise him? Because he's redeemed our lives when they were on the road to destruction. Last of all, verse 5. Because he satisfies us with good things. He said, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. One man said this about that phrase, about this verse. He said, it is not a matter of a mere rescue, as if our lives are spared, but so far as anything else is concerned, our lives are miserable. No, God satisfies us with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles, just as he said in the verse. It's not a matter. It's not like God just rescued us and that's it. It's not like God just gave us this get out of hell free card and that's it. It's not like He's just rescued us and just got us, you know, saved us. But then as far as everything else, we're miserable inside. Oh no, God has gone a lot farther than that. And God's blessed us and God's satisfied us. Hasn't that been your experience with God? Haven't you found a whole lot more in salvation than you ever thought you'd find? Haven't you found a whole lot more at the Father's house than what you thought you'd find? Just like that prodigal son. Whenever he came to himself and he saw himself as he really was, he said, I'm not even worthy to be called a son. He said, but you know, those servants, they've got bread enough and more to spare. He said, maybe I could at least go home and be a servant. And he made his way back to the Father's house. And when he got there, all he was wanting was just to be a servant. Just to have enough to eat. Just enough to sustain him to eat. I tell you, that's kind of what I was looking for when I got saved. Just enough. Lord, if you could just save me just enough. I'm not even worthy to be saved. I'm not even worthy to be a son. I'm not worthy. Listen, I'm not worthy to be able to go to church and have a Bible and preach and be in the ministry. I'm not willing to do all those things. But listen, if you'll just give me just enough, Lord. I'll tell you something, I found a whole lot more than what I ever thought I'd ever find. I never thought I'd find myself in a pulpit somewhere. Amen. I never thought I'd find myself pastoring a church. I never thought I'd find myself and my family traveling to meetings all over, knowing preachers all over, preaching with some of the men that I've preached with and having been surrounded by all the people I'm surrounded with, all the things God. I never thought I'd find all this. I never thought I'd get all this. But these are benefits. These are benefits. He went a whole lot further than just rescuing us. He satisfies us. Just like God told Nathan to tell David that if what he had hadn't been enough, he'd have given him more. That sounds like satisfaction to me, don't it? Yeah. Listen, if what you have, if what I've got, if it's not enough to satisfy us, if it's not enough to content us, you know what God will do? He'll give us more. Now, I'm not talking about the things that we think we want. I'm talking about the things that we think we need. I'm talking about all the things that, you know, like spoiled brats we're always asking for. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the legitimate things that if God hadn't given us more than enough to satisfy and content us and give us the best life we could ever live here and heaven too, He'd give us more if we needed it. That's what He told David. He satisfies us. See, hasn't God graciously brought an abundance of good things into your life? We may not have all the world has to offer, but praise God for it. Praise the Lord, we don't have all the world has to offer. We may not have all the things that somebody else has, but praise God for it. We've got all the good things. Some of that guy that always prayed for that bass boat, he wanted that bass boat so bad. All his whole life, he wanted a fine bass boat. He loved fishing. All of his friends had fine bass boats. His neighbor had a fine bass boat. But he never got a bass boat. And then finally, one day,
The Lord spoke to his heart and revealed to him that if he had that bass boat like he wanted, he wouldn't be where he was supposed to be. He'd be out on the bass boat. There's been a lot of bass boats gotten a lot of people out of the will of God. There's been a lot of raises and a lot of job opportunities that's gotten a lot of people out of the will of God. There's been a lot of things that the world has to offer that look so grand and so glamorous on the outside, but they're full of dead men's bones on the inside. And those things have gotten a lot of people out of the will of God. And see, God, He's not interested in giving us all those things. He could if He wanted to. He owns all that stuff. It's all God's anyway. He could give anything we want, He could give to us if He wanted to. But you know, He's not interested in giving us everything we want. He's interested in giving us the good things in life. And that's a reason to praise Him. That's a reason to bless the Lord, O my soul. That's a reason to make sure we forget not His benefits. You know what'll make you love the Lord like you should? Remembering His benefits. You know what'll help you have good days in dark days like the days we're living in? Remembering His benefits. You know what'll make you the Christian God wants you to be? Remembering His benefits. God, help us to remember His benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace this morning. I thank You for helping us with the message. I pray that You'll take it and use it in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to praise You and to bless You like You have us to, Lord. You're worthy of that. Help us, Lord, not to forget Your benefits. And Lord, this morning, if there'd be any of us, and probably all of us here, Lord, are guilty of getting our hearts and our minds off the things of God and on the ways of the world and forgetting Your benefits. Lord, I pray that You would stir our hearts this morning. I pray that You would help us to find ourselves on an old-fashioned altar, Lord, confessing it to You and getting right, Lord, and thanking You for the benefits that You've blessed us with. Lord, we've got good families, good homes. But Lord, more than that, we've got a good church to come to. And Lord, we've got a Bible to read. We've got the Holy Spirit. Lord, we've been forgiven of our sins. We've got the good things in our lives. Lord, we've just got so much. And I pray that You'd help us to be right with You. Lord, help us to forget not Your benefits. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.